you very much for being here. I'm going to talk about long-term phosphorus fertility in wastewater irrigated cropland. And my advisor, Dr. Elliott, is also here. There are two major reasons which make us to study long-term trend in soil fertility. The first one is, of course, to ensure the agronomic crop phosphorus need. And second one is to assess the potential of P loss to water via runoff or drainage. And this slide, it shows the summary of phosphorus balance of different wastewater irrigation sites from extensive review of the published literature. The x-axis here in this graph, it represents annual phosphorus removal with crop harvest, and y-axis represents annual phosphorus application. And this line is a one-to-one slope line separating p-axis and p-shortfall system. So we can see most of the system, they are p-axis system. And continuous axis P application is widely considered a limiting factor to long-term sustainability of wastewater irrigation sites. So therefore, we wanted to study the long-term trend of soil phosphorus at the Penn State wastewater irrigation site. This site is also called Penn State Living Filter Site. Its area is about 516 acres, half of which is cropland and remaining half is forest. The initial research was started in 1963 to study the feasibility of wastewater irrigation at this site. And since 1983, all the wastewater from the university treatment facility is used for surface irrigation at this site. Currently, typical effluent flow rate is between 2 to 3 million gallons per day, and typical peak concentration nowadays is between 3 to 4 milligrams per liter. And one of the unique features of this system is year-round application with only 3-hour storage capacity. Now, coming back to phosphorus, this graph shows annual phosphorus application at the living filter site from 1983 to 2008. And each of this bar is divided into three fractions: crop P harvest, excess P with effluent irrigation, and start P fertilizer. And since 2001, we can see a net decline in the total phosphorus application. And this net decline is because of reduction in the volume of effluent and the reduction in the P concentration of the effluent, and also elimination of the starter P fertilizer. But in spite of this decline, we can see that there is a continuous excess P application throughout the history of wastewater irrigation at this site. This slide shows the variation of soil P fertility as malic 3 phosphorus from one of the crop field of the living filter site. This variation can be interpreted as a linearly increasing. However, if we use a two-phase regression, it is a better statistical tool to interpret the variation of malic 3 phosphorus with time at the living filter site based on R square value and the P value of the two-phase model. Now, switching from one single field to the living filter site as a whole, here we can see data from 6 different crop fields. And again, I have used a two-phase regression model to interpret the variation of malic 3 phosphorus with years. From this graph, we see that there is a buildup of malic 3 phosphorus only for up to 12 years of effluent irrigation. And after that, we see a quasi-steady state of malic 3 phosphorus at about 110 parts per million. And this steady state level is lower than the threshold value of malic 3 phosphorus used in the screening tool of Pennsylvania P index. Now, the reason for this steady is why we have this steady state of malic 3 phosphorus. There are two phenomena which are responsible for the steady state. The first is progressive saturation of plow layer soil P sorbing sites. This graph shows P adsorption isotherm of soil from crop fields irrigated for 2, 25, and 45 years. And we can see saturation of P sorbing sites with wastewater irrigation as indicated by the gradual downward movement of the P adsorption isotherms. Also, these adsorption isotherms can be used to determine equilibrium phosphorus concentration at zero sorption, or EPC0. EPC0 is defined as the concentration of the solution at which rate of P desorption from soil to solution is equal to rate of P sorption from solution to soil. At the early system operation, EPC0 of the crop field of the living filter site was about 0.05 milligrams per liter. And at that time, we had higher P concentration of the effluent between 7 and 8 milligrams per liter. So what, assuming that we have adequate time of contact between the applied effluent and the plow layer, we can say that the plow layer was working as a very strong sink for P, reducing P concentration from 7, 8 milligrams per liter to 0.05 milligram per liter. However, currently, the progressive saturation of the P forming site has increased the EPC0 value to 5.5 milligram per liter, which is even higher than the effluent P concentration. Now, what's happening here is that plow layer is in fact working as a P source and not P sink. Again, assuming that we have adequate contact time to reach the equilibrium between the applied effluent and the plow layer. Now plow layer is actually increasing the P concentration from 3-4 milligram per liter to 5.5 milligram per liter. So this is one of the phenomena which is responsible for the quasi steady state of malic 3P at the plow layer. The second reason, or second phenomena which is responsible for the steady state of malic 3P is gradual reduction in the number of plow layer soil P sorbing sites. This diagram, it represents malic 3 extractable aluminum in the irrigated field, irrigated for 25 years, and unirrigated field. We see that the malic 3 aluminum is about 900 parts per million in irrigated field, but in unirrigated field, it's more than 1,100 parts per million. And these oxides of aluminum and iron, they are responsible for P-sorbing sites in the soil. And so this decline in the malic 3 aluminum indicates a decline in number of P-sorbing sites of the soil at the living filter site. And this decline in the malic 3 extractable aluminum or P-sorbing site is caused by enhanced aluminum dissolution and then translocation of the dissolved aluminum from the plow layer. This figure, it shows soil organic matter profile in 1971 and 2006. All these decades of wastewater irrigation has increased the soil organic matter of the soil, but this increased soil organic matter, it's not accumulating near the surface, it's going downward, as we can see via this profile. Now, this downward moving organic matter is capable of actually stripping aluminum from the plow layer and moving it downwards. Now, this is the aluminum solubility diagram for the soils of the living filter site. And the broken line, it represents aluminum solubility in absence of dissolved organic carbon. And the solid line represents aluminum solubility in presence of dissolved organic carbon. And this diagram was created using Visual MinTech. Now, if we look at the pH status of the living filter site, we see that at the early system operation, the pH was about 4.5, and now we have around 7. It's a common phenomena in irrigation sites to observe the increasing pH. But the important thing to note here is that within this pH range, the availability of the dissolved organic carbon is capable of increasing the aluminum solubility by 100 to 1,000 times. And this increased aluminum solubility in conjugation with high hydraulic loading is responsible for stripping aluminum from the plow layer to downwards, and thus it is decreasing number of P-sorbing sites available in the plow layer. So in order to summarize the temporal variation of the malic 3 phosphorus at the living filter site, I can say that downward phosphorus flux can be depicted by tipping bucket model, where layers of soil are at stake of bucket, and as the surface bucket gets filled, it spills to the next lower bucket. In our case, the surface bucket has gotten progressively filled and smaller. Coming to the major conclusion, the first one is that malic 3 phosphorus in the plow layer and surface soil has reached a quasi-steady state after about 12 years of effluent irrigation with reclaimed wastewater. Second is the ability of plow layer to retain effluent phosphorus has been reduced due to progressive saturation and reduction in P-sorbing capacity. And third is that steady-state malic-3 phosphorus, which is about 110 parts per million, is below the environmental threshold, which is used as a screening tool in the Pennsylvania Phosphorus Index. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you. You left plenty of time for questions, so we're going to have a ball.
Okay, I'm here.
Okay. So, do you have any questions?
We have the Hublisberg soil, Hublisberg hibiscus texture. It's not sandy soil.
Another question?
Does the Malic-3 extract organic phosphorus as well, and have you looked at the different P fractions in the soil and how those have changed over time?
In Malic-3 extract the phosphorus which is available for the plants, and I haven't looked at different fraction, but I have looked at total phosphorus, and I have seen it's a reasonable question that maybe Malic-3 is at steady state but total phosphorus is increasing, but that's not the case. I have looked total phosphorus now and total phosphorus some 20-25 years ago, and they are not very different. So we have already discarded that the total phosphorus is increasing. It's not the case.
I might have missed this, but what depths were you sampling to?
It's plow depth, 20 centimeters.
Mm-hmm. Could it be important to look lower?
I have looked lower, but I just presented here that only 20 centimeters.
Oh, you're hiding stuff. Okay, you're not going to tell us the whole story. Show you poke.
I can show you. This is the up.
I've
one.
Already changed it. I'm sorry.
It's gone.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Any more questions? I have one. So we're putting this treated wastewater on all our soils. All of us are doing this. And we're leaching out stuff and dissolving stuff. Are we just turning all our soils into sesquioxides and laterite? Are we going to get there faster doing this?
What we are going to?
I'm having fun now. I'm sorry. I used to work where there are a lot of laterating soils, so I worry about it. All right. Well, I thank you very much. A very interesting talk.